Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In Psalm 16, verse 11, we find the following. Psalm 16, verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. This psalm, as you can tell from the context, up in Psalm 16, verse 10, is a reference to Jesus, who is now at the right hand of God. Let's read it. Psalm 16:10 says, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see that? Now, when you go to Acts chapter 2, you find that Psalm 16:10 is being quoted by Peter when he is preaching, and he is referring to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he went to hell but didn't stay in hell, and how he went to the grave but didn't suffer corruption. So this is a psalm concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his position now at the right hand of God. I mean, if you think about it for just a minute, imagine how Jesus right now is enjoying pleasures at the right hand of God. I'll tell you this, if he weren't experiencing fullness of joy and pleasures next to the throne of God, we'd have to ask ourselves why we want to get up to heaven so badly. Now think about this. The pleasures in heaven with God must be so great that they were worth whatever Jesus had to suffer in his ministry, whatever Jesus had to suffer in his death, whatever Jesus had to suffer in his time in hell before he could get back there. You know, he left all of that glory and became poor that ye through his poverty might be made rich. He wanted you to get saved. But you know, if there weren't pleasure in his return, if there weren't pleasures in what he did, then I was going to say he wouldn't have done it, but the point is, the pleasures of doing what he did must have been so great, that's the point, that he was willing to go through that. I mean, Paul knew this perfectly and was willing to suffer with Jesus Christ on earth that he, too, might enjoy glory with Jesus Christ in heaven. When Paul writes here to the Romans, in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, those are some fabulous chapters of Scripture, but in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, speaking of us, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, I'm reading in verse 17, if so be that we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. For I reckon, Paul says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So Paul said, whatever I have to go through now is going to be worth it because what we're going to experience in glory is so far greater. So here's the purpose of preaching this message today. More and more we're finding Christians selling out for worldly pleasures and forsaking the pleasures that are at the right hand of God. And those worldly pleasures that you're seeking are being offered by the world and the devil to keep you from experiencing the joy of the Lord. those worldly pleasures are inhibiting your ability to enjoy the pleasure of God's will. That's what we're finding. The devil knows that if you ever find the absolute pleasure that comes from your fellowship with God today, you will shun worldly pleasures so that you can fully enjoy his pleasure. He knows that. And so he disguises all that pleasure of God by giving you worldly pleasures to so you can't see it, so you can't experience, so you won't experience the pleasures of God. So today what we want to do is we want to preach and we want to consider how worldly pleasures obstruct the pleasures of God. That's what we want to see. We want to see how these worldly pleasures that have seduced you have caused you to turn away from the pleasures of God or miss the pleasures of God. So we're going to look at some scripture today. We started with Psalm 16:11, but we're going to move around. First of all, notice this. Worldly pleasures keep you from the pleasure of getting saved. Did you hear what I said? Worldly pleasures keep you from the pleasure of getting saved. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now understand the doctrine of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and understand the doctrinal application, okay? But we're preaching a sermon and we can certainly make a spiritual application here that is very true and very right and very important for this message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now the context to which I referred is this. Verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now that strong delusion is something that's going to happen during the tribulation, causing people to believe a lie. But notice the underlying problem was not that God sent the delusion. The underlying problem is they had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I've seen something, and I believe you have too. People who are having so much fun with sin don't want to stop that fun with sin in order to get saved. And if they don't get saved, they're damned, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you see that? Worldly pleasures, the pleasures of unrighteousness, keep people from the pleasure of getting saved. People who are lost because they don't want to repent have no idea what they're missing. I mean, if you're listening to me and you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. You had no idea that there was so much pleasure in salvation until you got saved. Before you got saved, you hoped there was. And I'm not sure what compelled you to want to get saved. Some people got saved because they heard about hell and they didn't want to go there. But they didn't realize that a great added benefit was not only that they weren't going to go to hell, but that they would begin to enjoy the pleasures of God now. And they're thankful that they repented from sin. As a matter of fact, they're so thankful they've quit drinking, they've quit carousing, they've quit smoking, they've quit doing a lot of things because they don't find pleasure in that stuff anymore, whereas before they did. Now, you see, people who are still lost but have heard the gospel and they're still lost because they want to continue in unrighteousness, they're deceived. They're deceived by sin and can't understand the pleasure that you and I experience in salvation. Now let me tell you something. If you're hearing what I'm saying and you're still lost, you know what you ought to do? What you ought to do is you ought to get saved. And then, and only then, you will know why we keep preaching to the lost to get saved. You'll say, "Wow, I didn't realize it was this good." We'll realize it by repenting of your sin and getting saved, and then you'll know. You'll be glad to be done with those things in which you were currently finding pleasure. Paul writes about this. We used to find pleasure in certain sins. We don't find pleasure in that stuff anymore. Okay, here's the second thing. First of all, concerning pleasures, consider this, they, that is worldly pleasures, keep you from the pleasure of getting saved. Here's the second thing. Worldly pleasures keep you from the pleasure of liberty from sin. In other words, not all people that have gotten saved have given up their favorite sins. Let's look at a few passages of Scripture here, first of all, before we comment. Hebrews chapter 11. Here we're talking about Moses. And in verse 25, Moses chose, the Bible says choosing rather, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now see that? The pleasures of sin. Those pleasures of sin keep you from the pleasure of liberty from sin. Moses made a choice. He said, I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew there was something better. Jesus Christ said to us in John chapter 8, a very, very well preached, thoroughly preached passage of Scripture, John chapter 8, verses 32 to 36. Often misquoted, but frequently preached. John chapter 8, verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those Pharisees answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye should be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, you know, there are Christians today are constantly trying to see how much sin they can keep in their lives and still survive as Christians. But when you consider Romans chapter 1, this passage beginning with verse 28 about the reprobate mind, what happens when you go after those pleasures of sin like that is that you get further in bondage to those sins, and then God turns you over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And what happens? You get filled with unrighteousness in verse 29, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, all that stuff. And before those verses, homosexuality, verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, I gave you a lot of scripture on this particular point, but it's very important because this point right here is probably one of the most important points in the whole sermon today. Worldly pleasures keep you from the pleasure of liberty from sin. Moses knew there was pleasure in sin, but only for a season, and people today find pleasure in them that do the things in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 31 that are listed there. I mean, think how much money you've spent watching Hollywood movies that portray those filthy things in every episode. You see, Christians truly are trying to see how much sin they can keep in their lives and still survive as Christians. That's stupid. You say, well, I'm doing that. Well, then you're stupid. I say that charitably. I'm trying to get your attention. You have sin going on in your life right now that you are hanging on to because you are finding pleasure in that sin. And what it is denying you is the opportunity of experiencing the pleasure you would have by being free from that sin. And I'll tell you something, the pleasure of liberty from sin is greater than the pleasure of being in sin. So forsake the pleasures of sin. They only last for a season. And the pleasure of God lasts forever, according to Psalm 16:11. And you will never know the pleasures of liberty from sin until you are free. I wish you knew what it was like to be able to walk in fellowship with God and enjoy His righteousness and His liberty and say, thank God I'm not finding pleasure in that sin anymore. But you're going to have to turn from the pleasure of that sin to experience the pleasure of that liberty. And my question to you is, are you going to do it? Are you willing to do that? I'll guarantee you, the pleasure of liberty from sin is far greater than the pleasure of sin. Far greater. Okay, let's go on to another point. Pleasures. Worldly pleasures keep you from the pleasure of God's love. Here's another great big problem going on with Christians today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We are living to some degree in the last days. I say to some degree. I wouldn't want to say to you, Jesus is coming right away, and then he doesn't come right away. The first time I heard about Jesus coming, I heard he was coming in 1989, if our calendars are right. That's been 24 years ago. Thank God we didn't scoff and give up hope because he didn't come so quickly. But you know something? We're closer, obviously, than we were before. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about what's going on in the last days. The Bible says, perilous times shall come. And verse 4 says that men will be traitors, heady, high-minded. Watch it. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know what happened? They didn't find enough pleasure in the love of God. Why? Because they were still consumed with the love they had of their pleasures. That's why. I mean, if you ever got a real taste of the love of God, you'd never go back to what you're loving that's giving you pleasure right now. And you know something? You will never know the pleasure of God's love as long as you keep loving every other pleasure in life. Just listen to yourself speak. When you're talking to people and you're just sitting down drinking coffee or you're drinking water or you're eating a meal or doing whatever you do when you start having conversations with other people, just listen to what comes out of your mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You talk of your love for sports. Oh, I just love that team, whatever it is. Or you talk about your love for food. Oh, I just love that restaurant. I just love that meal. Or you talk about your love for your favorite recreation. Oh, we love it when we get to take a vacation up to such and such a place. Or you talk about your love for music. Oh, that artist is so great. Oh, I love that song. You hear yourself speak? You're not using the word love casually. You really do love that sports team or that favorite recreation or that food or that music or whatever it else that you're in love with. And with your love so spread out, you have neglected the love of God. And do you know something? You are supposed to love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. And you don't. You love him with whatever's left over in your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now let me tell you something. When you love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, you know what you're going to do? You're going to find pleasure in the love of God that so far exceeds all those loves that you have had before that none of them individually can even compare with the love of God. As a matter of fact, all of them combined will not compare to your love for God and God's love for you. There, I'll tell you what, once you've experienced that level of love, you will not want anything to interfere. But your worldly pleasures have stolen your love for God. And you, therefore, you're not finding any pleasure in the love of God. Well, you're getting the gist of this message. Worldly pleasures keep you from the pleasure of getting saved. They keep you from the pleasure of liberty from sin. Worldly pleasures keep you from the pleasure of God's love. And that's not all. Worldly pleasures keep you from the pleasure of God's will. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. God is trying to work the good pleasure of his will. We're here as the creation of God to bring him pleasure, according to Revelation chapter 4:11. But you know something? It's not a one-way street. There's pleasure for us as well. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know something? People struggle so much with getting into God's will. as if their will for their lives was so much better than God's will. What I'm finding today is that most Christians are trying to squeeze God into their will rather than to, you know, to participate or do His will. If you will forsake those worldly pleasures that are keeping you from God's will and then get into God's will, you're going to find pleasure there like you've never found in the world. And don't be scared of the cross. I know that Jesus told His disciples, take up your cross daily. I know that Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. You're so scared of the cross that you're not going. Jesus was not scared of the cross. He saw the joy that was on the other side, and that's why He endured it. And that's what you and I need to do. And when you do, you will experience a pleasure in His will and in His righteousness that exceeds the pleasures of this world to such a degree that it makes those pleasures, those worldly pleasures, pale by comparison. Oh, how I wish that you could find that pleasure in God's will. But the deal is, you've got competing pleasures. You've got your favorite TV shows. You've got your favorite actors. You've got your favorite movies. You've got your favorite recreations. You've got your favorite thing that you want to do. You've got your job. I tell people that I used to be in the banking business before I got into the ministry, and I told them what I was doing in the banking business, and they said, how could you give that up for the ministry? But there was nothing to give up. I am so far enjoying so much more the pleasures of God's will than the pleasures of my own will. Worldly pleasures will keep you from the pleasure of God's will. And there is pleasure in God's will, both for Him and for you. Let me give you something else. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, look at verse 14. The pleasures, the worldly pleasures, the pleasures of sin, the pleasures of this life will keep you from the pleasure of being fruitful. Luke chapter 8 is about the parable of the sower and the seed. Look at verse 14. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. That's talking about seed. That seed, that which fell among thorns, are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches, watch it, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Worldly pleasures will keep you from the pleasure of being fruitful. Listen, until you have led a few souls to Christ, you will never understand the pure joy that comes from seeing a soul converted to Christ. The Bible says there's so much joy in it that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And when you start leading souls to Jesus Christ, you share in that joy. Paul said, what is our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord at His coming? There is a tremendous amount of joy in seeing a sinner convert to Jesus Christ. There's so much pleasure in it that you would give up whatever pleasure you're doing during visitation in your church just to have the opportunity to witness to a soul, or whatever pleasure you find in your dirty jokes you tell rather than in your witnessing. Worldly pleasures keep you from the pleasure of God's grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he was trying to get rid of the thorn in the flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul concluded in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know what Paul said? I don't find pleasure in dominoes and cards and video games and Facebook and all this stupid stuff you get involved in today. You know what he says? I find pleasure in infirmities. You say, well, the guy was crazy. No, he experienced the pleasure of God's grace. And when he found the pleasure of God's grace, he said, listen, I need to be weakened in order to be strong, so bring on the infirmities, bring on the reproaches, bring on the necessities. Listen, the pleasure comes not from the affliction, but from the sufficiency of God's grace. His grace will cause you to find pleasure in things that the rest of the world finds detestable. But worldly pleasures will keep you from the pleasure of God's grace. And you don't want those worldly pleasures to overshadow that grace, because, listen, Paul was not an idiot. He was telling the truth when he said, I take pleasure in infirmities. One more thing, worldly pleasures will keep you from the pleasure at God's right hand. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 12, 13, and 14. I'll read this quickly and show you what happens. There are people that are passing up getting saved today that are going to wind up in hell because, why? They're still stuck on their worldly pleasures. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. These guys are so hooked on their worldly pleasures that they are turning from the pleasures at God's right hand. You know what's going to happen to you if you keep on with what you're doing? You're going to wind up in hell rather than at God's right hand. And you can be sure of one thing. There are no pleasures in hell. These guys that are damned, that are going to receive the reward of their unrighteousness because they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, nothing. Hell forever and never at the right hand of God. Do you understand that? And that's all because they kept on with the pleasures of rioting in the daytime. Let me summarize this and just say it one more time. There are pleasures forevermore at the right hand of God. And the worldly pleasures that are consuming you now are keeping you from enjoying those pleasures. They keep you from the pleasure of getting saved if you're still lost. They keep you from the pleasure of liberty from sin. Those worldly pleasures keep you from the pleasure of God's love. They keep you from the pleasure of God's will. They keep you from the pleasure of being fruitful. Those worldly pleasures keep you from the pleasure of God's grace. And they're going to keep you from the pleasure at God's right hand if you don't turn and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're lost today, please consider the truth of this message.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.